Now we must briefly discuss about constructing our life according to Bhagavad Gita. It requires long discussions and we don't have much time. So I'm going to just pick up a few key lessons. That too, mainly for the initial focus to understand and follow Karma Yoga. What is a key lesson from Bhagavad Gita? The foremost one is that you must take the responsibility for yourself. You may seek help from God, the learned, and all those who are powerful enough to help you. But it is only your self-effort and self-responsibilities that matter and deliver. But by saying self-effort and self-responsibility, it may sound as if we are left to our own devices. Is it not? Perhaps we are. But what it also implies is that we have absolute freedom and infinite potential within our disposal. This is the most important lesson we should catch up. Take example of verse 5 in chapter 6. Uddaret atmanatmanam na atmanam avasadayet. Atmai eh atmano bandhu. Atmai varibhu atmanah. Now let me make it very simple in this. So, uddare atmana atma, meaning that you must lift yourself. The first line shows you two things. Lift yourself and do not lower yourself. It indicates two important lessons. Self-effort and self-responsibility. You have to uplift your self-esteem. Once you are able to think for yourself, perhaps from the age of 13 or so, you must own up self-effort and self-responsibilities. Why? It is given in the next sentence. Atma eva atmanah bandhu. Meaning, you are the relative to you. Atma eva atmanah ribhu. You are also your enemy. What does it mean? See, when you are a child, yes, everyone is taking care of you. You are not expected to be on your own. But as soon as you are able to apply your buddhi, there's an expectation on you to demonstrate responsibilities. No one is responsible for your progress from then on, except yourself. The parents, friends, and loved ones would be all there to share your pain and pleasures. But none can help you in your progress. This must be clearly understood. Even the society expects you to demonstrate certain responsibilities, is it not? So you need to be bootstrapping, lifting yourself by your own effort. And if you do, then you are good to yourself and therefore you are your best relative or the best friend. If you do not put effort or take responsibilities for your action, then you will lower yourself and that would mean you become your own enemy, causing damage to yourself. This is the first thing we should understand. But how is self-responsibility sustained? To put self-effort and take responsibility, we need internal transformation of character. Let's understand. See, in Sanskrit, effort is known by the word yatnam. So when you put effort or when you put yatnam, it clearly indicates that you are not lazy and prepared to work. Is it not? Putting effort means and implies certain character modification. There are three types of gunas or characters, which we will not go deep in here, but in simply, tamo guna means sloppy, lazy, and indulgent behavior. It exhibits inertia. Rajoguna is a passionate, action-oriented behavior, not necessarily in good control. And Sattvaguna is the balanced and controlled knowledge. So if someone is putting effort or taking action, then it means he is moving from Tamoguna to Rajoguna. There is a transformation of character. But we all know effort by itself is no good. Many of us put a lot of efforts but do not get success. Why? If you analyze, a key reason would be inappropriate efforts. See, proper effort is required and it is denoted by prayatram. The prefix pra in Sanskrit indicates glorified, perfect, pure, etc., like prasadam. So prayatnam is what we need to improve the chances of success. But how do we make yatnam to prayatnam? For this, again, there's a character modification required. To know proper effort, you must understand the proper knowledge about the task and to perform correctly. So seeking and attaining such knowledge indicate sattvic guna. Therefore, if you're applying prayatnam, it implies that the action of rajoguna is supported by sattvic learning. So our self-effort, so prayatnam, must be focused on our self-development. On what? On everything. Physically, mentally, and intellectually. It means, for example, at the gross level, proper self-effort is needed to maintain a proper, healthy body. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord gives advice on all such intermediate goals. What food to eat, how to sleep, how long to sleep, and many such topics of importance, even at gross level, as well as to very lofty ideals at intellectual levels, are all given in Bhagavad Gita. Okay, so what follow the self-effort and self-responsibility? This is the step towards Karma Yoga. First of all, we need to understand Karma Yoga is a basic quality for constructing our life along the path of Gita. We are only focusing on that aspect today. To understand this, let us look at another important verse in chapter 2, verse 47. Karmani eva adhikaraste ma baleshu kadachana. Ma karma balehe durbhu mate sangostav akarmanihi. We have no time to go through in detail, but what this verse gives us, it gives us four clear instructions. The first line gives two instructions. Karmani eva adhikaraste. In the action, you have the full power. When, the implied meaning is, before embarking on any action, you have complete power and freedom. In other words, we have lots of choices and opportunities to analyze what to do, how to do, and if we need to do at all, before we do. But we seldom leverage on such power. We hastily jump into action. We utter words without thinking. So do not spoil such golden opportunity and power before embarking on any action, not even saying a word. But once we have committed for an action, then we have no power on the impact of the outcome. We have no freedom of choice on the outcome of the action. These are the two instructions from the first line. The second line gives the third and the fourth instruction. The third one is interesting. It tells you the impact of the outcome of our action is based on the true motive of our action. The impact of the outcome of our action is based on our motive. We must understand this well. See, outcome is the state of termination of an action. Impact of outcome is a consequence of the outcome. You understand? For example, if I steal money from someone, the outcome to me is the money gained. The impact may be completely different. The one who lost the money perhaps lost other opportunities for which the money was intended for. And by stealing, I have committed a sin. And so ultimate grief would impact me. Hope you see the difference there. So here Lord says that the impact of the outcome depends on the motivation of the performer. Another example would help. Say one man pulls the hand of a lady suddenly. Another man offers a bunch of flowers to another lady. If the motive of the man who had pulled the lady is only to save her from falling, then the impact of the outcome should only be a gratitude and respect. But in contrary, if the motive of the man offering flowers is to ultimately cheat her, although the apparent outcome may be pleasantries, the real impact is sin and ultimate grief. So that is why we need to be very clear and pure in our motives. Earning money can be a good motive if it is for righteous necessity. Killing an enemy in just war is not a sin, as the motive is good to defend one's nation. So the lesson here is that our motive should be guided by dharma. So we have three instructions. You have enough power and control before performing action. Once you commit it, you have no influence on the outcome. But the impact of the outcome is depending on your motivation. By looking at these three instructions, and then you find it difficult to take the responsibility, and you may choose, why bother? Let's not do any action. That is not allowed. That is the final instruction in the second line. Do not choose inaction over action. Mate sanga astu akarmani. Akarmani means don't action, inaction. This is the problem Arjun faced. So he had enough opportunity to think about before coming to war. But having committed, he thinks about the outcome. He doesn't understand his motive. Confused, he decided inaction is better. This is wrong according to Karma Yoga.